pray. We're gonna jump into the word today in 1 John. So, Father God, Lord, we thank you tonight. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's truth tonight, Lord God. So, Father, today we need to know your truth so it can set us free. God, we need to know the truth tonight that today we can leave and we can live in everything you have for us. God, let us not miss one thing you've provided for us today, that we can live a life that's full. God, going to heaven is great. It's amazing. We don't take that for granted, Lord. But God, we have this time here on earth. So Father, show us how not to live a life that's stuck in the troubles that this world has. Father, show us how to live in victory day in and day out. So Father God, tonight we give you our attention. God, we give you our time. God, we give you our heart tonight, Lord God, that you would do surgery on it tonight, Lord God, that we can leave this place changed. And God, we can leave this place seeing things the way you see them. So Father God, tonight bless us, show us, teach us, and change us. And God, as we pray tonight, as we always do, God, we also pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire and even around the world, Father God. Whether it's San Bernardino Community, Father God, Trinity, Emmanuel Baptist, Father God, Lord, if it's Victory Outreach, Lord God, Father, if it's San Bernardino Community, Father God, whoever it is, Lord God, if they're talking about you, Jesus, we recognize that we're all on the same team, doing the same thing, getting young people to know about you. So, Father God, Lord, we pray that you would bless them just as you've blessed us today. Father, we thank you, Father, for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's jump into this. First John chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, the Bible talks about light and dark, which is exactly where we've been the past couple weeks. And it's this epic battle between good and evil, between God and the devil, just as they were singing earlier. And the thing is, it's not just for turf, man. It's not just, you know, over money or resources. You know, the thing is over souls. It's over you. It's over your life. That's what this battle is about. Yeah, the battle is over your thoughts. It's over your emotions. The battle is over your future and your destiny. Winner take all. I mean, you are the battleground. Your future is what they're fighting for. Your eternity is what they're seeking for. It's for your blood. It's kind of bizarre to think that. You know, in 1 John, if you have a good, it says, this is the message which you've heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God's all good, no mistake, no turning. It says, if we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, here's God's desire, is that you walk with him, is that we leave darkness and we give ourselves to God. You know, last week we're talking about this crazy verse in Luke, and I'm not going to go there, but I'll kind of recap it for you guys. But it says that you and I, your life is like a house. Your life is like a house, and all throughout what Jesus said, it's true. He says your body, your life, your heart's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Says, you know, God's not looking for a beautiful, fancy building. He's not looking for another temple or a statue to make him be glorified. He's looking for your heart. That's where God wants to live, is in your heart. He says, our hearts, our life become his house, his temple. Well, there's an enemy out there. There's a world out there. There's a spirit out there named Satan. Demons that believe the same thing, and they want. They want to claim our life too. They want to claim your heart as their house as well. And the Bible says that it goes to the strongest man, your heart. So who's strongest in your life? Is it God or is it darkness? Is it this world? Is it Satan? You know, and we said that if you're a Christian, if you believe in Jesus, if you're living for God in this place, then there's no battle, no temptation, no challenge, no struggle, no hardship that's greater than the things of God. So no matter what, the victory is determined in your heart if Jesus lives at the center. Now here's where things get kind of crazy. If you guys got your Bibles, go ahead and flip over to Matthew real quick. Now tonight I've got several verses. So if you need to limber up your fingers, get them stretched out, you know, crack a couple knuckles, blah, blah, get it ready. Because tonight I want to talk to you about this thing called spiritual warfare. It seems kind of strange, maybe especially if you're new to church. But tonight I want to talk to you about fighting and battling. I want to talk to you about storming the gates of hell, which may seem kind of strange to all of us. But put your seatbelts on, open up your Bibles, get ready, open up your brain, and let's talk tonight. Because Jesus took his disciples to a city called Caesarea Philippi. Now, it's okay, you don't got to remember the city. Not going to be a test after this, okay? It's okay, no geography lesson going on right here. But he takes them to this city in the Middle East called Caesarea Philippi. and he has this really weird conversation with his disciples. Matter of fact, he has this really great interchange with the disciple Peter. In Matthew 16, he's talking, and he takes him up to this place, and they're looking around. In Matthew 16, he begins to talk, and in verse 15, let's start there. He's talking to the disciples, and he says, "Hey, who do you guys think that I am? Who do you say that I am?" In verse 16, Simon Peter answers and says to Jesus, "Well, Jesus, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon Bar-Jonah." He says, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who's in heaven. I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Verse 19 says, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Jesus makes this statement. It's really kind of weird. It's really kind of strange. And they're in this city, this place called Caesarea Philippi. Now here's the thing we got to get this picture of. Is Jesus is basically saying, you know, today, guys, look, we're declaring war on hell. We're drawing a line in the sand. And we're saying, step over that line, I'm a cut a fool. Okay? Basically, Jesus is saying, now is the time to get serious. Now is the time to seize the day. Look, he says, this is the time, this is the place where we have to stop playing games and get serious. Because I want to build a church. I want to build a people. I want to start a movement. I want to begin to change lives. And the gates of hell is where people are at. And it's time to start plundering hell. It's time to start taking what the enemy has stolen. Now, this may not make a lot of sense to you, but here's what I'm talking about. Suicide rates, too high. Dropout rates, too high. Depression, too many people are prescribed to too many drugs to try to solve a problem. Now, I'm not knocking anybody if you're on that, but I'm saying, look, I think there's a problem out there. And these are things that this world, that Satan has stolen. Because let's be real. There's an enemy out there. Look, there's questions that people just don't have answers to. And we can think and we can live our life thinking whatever I see is real. Or we can open up our eyes and begin to believe that there's something behind everything. That there's a world out there that's spiritual. I mean, look, you're in church today, so you believe in God. So you believe in things that you can't necessarily see with your eyes. So let's take a step further. There's a spiritual world out there that's working against us. There's an enemy out there that wants us dead, that hates us to the core. There's a world system that's established to take us down. And we have to be wise enough to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm living my life for God. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of seeing people hurt, killed. I'm sick and tired of all these things happening in my school. Look, I'm sick and tired of these problems happening in my family, and I am about ready to stand up and make a difference and put a stop at this. It's time to declare war on hell. You see, Jesus says this. He says, I'm Jesus. He says, I'm Christ. He says, I'm God. And the fact that you know that, the fact that you know that is where I'm going to begin to build my church. It's what you and I need to stand on. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, then that means that he has victory over all things. That means with him, we cannot lose. And then he says, this is the thing I'm going to build my church on, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, that city that they were in had this one place called Mount Hermon. Now, I don't really know how exactly to say it, but I know what happened there. Is in that place, they literally had a place called the Gate of Hell. And it was this little cave they would have in the side of a mountain, of this mountain called Hermon. And everybody called it the Gate of Hell because really weird things happened there. They believed this mountain was where all the god, the false gods they believed in, all those who believed in these different religions and gods, they believed that that mountain is where those gods would come down and meet and do some pretty wicked things. I mean, literally, this was kind of like, you know what I'm saying, if they had paranormal activity back in the day, that's where they'd film it, okay? That's what it was, pretty much. And there, then this mountain was... And in this little side of the mountain, there was this little cave where they would do that. Well, Jesus was walking in this city and said, hey, you see that, guys? This is the epitome of wickedness. This is where weird, strange, odd things happen. This is where the devil calls his home. And you know what? Today, this is where we're building our church. You see, if you're a Christian in this place, God hasn't called us to be Christians to just solve all our problems and make us nice, good people. See, that's the trick, man. We think, oh, if I go to church, I'll be a really nice person, and I won't cut people off and flip people off, and I'll stop cussing. And that's really good, and that's cool. I'll pay my taxes when I get old enough, and that'll be fresh, and I won't bug nobody. And you see, that's cool, and that's that. But see, that's not even the beginning of what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian is not about being nice and going to church. Being a Christian is about choosing a side. Being a Christian is about saying it's more than the way I'm, how nice I am or how polite I am. Being a Christian is about saying my life belongs to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live for him no matter what comes, hell or high water. Because, you see, anybody can be nice. You don't got to go to church to be nice, because I know a lot of nice people that are not Christian. But if you want victory in your life, if you want to stand up for the things of God, look, if you want your life and the lives of the people around you to be changed, it's going to require something bigger than yourself, and it's going to require something bigger than your manners. It's going to require Jesus Christ to come in and change your life and the life of the people around you. See, that's what Jesus said. Jesus said it's time to stop playing games, because we are in the gates of hell right now, and now is the time to begin to fight for our lives and the lives of the people around us. You know, the greatest football team in all of NFL can have a great defense. It's true. Maybe, and I'll be humble today, it may not be the Chargers, but I'm just saying, I'm praying, but I'm saying. But they have the greatest defense. But you know what? Great defense doesn't win a Super Bowl. You have the greatest defense, but you know, defense isn't going to win you a game. You need offense to win a game. The greatest defense will get you a tie. 0-0. Double bagel, baby. But if you want to score, if you want to get out there, if you want to win a game, you need an offense. And you see, a lot of times we get tricked into playing defense in our Christianity. Be nice. Don't make waves. Look, I didn't sin too bad today, so I must be doing pretty good. And see, that's defense. Oh, watch out for the temptations, which is true. And you need strong D. Don't get me wrong. You need it. But if D is all you play, you're losing ground. You're just trying to make sure that Satan doesn't push you back. And it's time in our lives, in your lives, look, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to live for God, if you're into this more than just than just doing this until you graduate out of high school and get to college, then it's going to require you to push back. It's time to take the game back to the offense, to the enemy. And you see, that's what Jesus did. He didn't stay in Jerusalem. He didn't stay in his hometown. He didn't say, oh, I just want to stay all day making really nice chairs and couches and tables as a carpenter. He said, no, I'm going to the wickedest place I can find, and I'm declaring war on that. He took it to the enemy's camp and said, I'm done. So God's called us to storm the gates of hell, to empty hell, if you will. So what does that look like, Pastor Richard? Okay, spiritual warfare, you know, fight hell. Yeah, let's do that. Cool. But I'm kind of one of those guys that, Pastor Richard, okay, I get it. That's cool. But what is it? What do you mean? Like, okay, do I go to school tomorrow and start rebuking people in Jesus' name? You're bad. I rebuke you. Teacher, I rebuke you. I mean, what is it? Does it mean I pray for a really long time? Like if somebody gets up, do I just start praying? Because, Pastor Richard, I already pray. No. Let's talk. This is what spiritual warfare means. This is what Jesus is talking about. Because he said, here, the way we fight the enemy is by building the church. That's what we do. So, you know, all throughout the Gospels, all throughout what Jesus said, red letter, Jesus was talking about this word called the kingdom. And that's a battle word, a kingdom. It's territory. It's land. It's people. So spiritual warfare, fighting the gates of hell, is all about what you can do to make the kingdom bigger. Here's what I mean. And like I said, we put on your thinking caps. We're not just talking about how to be nice and how to stop, you know, punching people. I'm talking about, this is a spiritual thing we're talking about. So tonight, let's get into this. See, a spiritual offense looks like we're confidently victorious. It's a confidence in the victory that God's given you. See, because if you're not confident, you're going to drop the ball. If you're not confident, if you don't know that you know, then you're going to second guess yourself. Look, happens all the time. you know, I just started getting into airsoft. You know, for those of you, it's like I go on these fields and stuff, and you got these guys from the military. They're like dressed head to toe. They have like the automatic airsoft weapons. It's really bizarre. It's like all we're doing is shooting these dumb little tiny plastic BBs at each other, and these guys have like these $500 guns that shoot like amazingly fast. It's really bizarre. It's the craziest way to play, you know, G.I. Joe, okay? It's really bizarre. I mean, these guys head to toe in their gear, they got vests and war paint, they're like diving, and it's bizarre. Where these guys are crazy. Maybe I might be becoming one. It's like, okay. But it's funny, when I first started playing, it's like I was so scared. I was like, you know, it was just seriously, and I had my gun, I was like, pew, 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 you know? And I was like, and I was so scared of getting hurt because I don't like pain, okay? And all of a sudden, I was out in the field when it was like, pew, 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 you know? I was like, and all of a sudden, I went out, and this one dude, I don't know what happened, but he lit me up. He was like, all over my thigh. I was like, ah, Jesus, the medic. Take me now, Lord. Take me now. He lit my leg up. I was like, oh, Jesus, my thigh. Lord Jesus. I was just crying out. And then I got out, and I did the little place where you get out, and I was like, oh, that wasn't that bad. So the next time I was running a little faster, I was diving a little bit further, you know, and I got shot a couple more times. I, you know, cried. I had to go get my juice box and my sippy cup and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, a couple more times, I was like, oh no, he ain't going, oh, you will get up in my face, blam, blah, 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 blam. And I was ramboing people, blah, 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 you know. And all of a sudden, it's amazing what a little bit of confidence will do for a brother, you know. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, it's just plastic, fool, blah, blah. And then that one dude started bleeding. I was like, whoa. So it's amazing that if we would realize what God has done for our lives, we would step out and we begin to pray bolder prayers. When you realize that the worst somebody can say if you invite them to church is no, I can handle that. Pretty girls say no to me all the time, you know. Look. If we would realize these things, then all of a sudden, not to me, you know, but, I mean, my wife is, I mean, granted that my wife is the only pretty girl I talk to, but, you know, now, all of a sudden, when we would get bold in these things, you realize, look, what does the Bible say? Don't fear this. Don't fear Satan. Best he can do is kill your body. But fear the one who can send your soul to hell. Look, if you're living inside of God's love, then that means there is no fear. Because perfect love casts out fear. So listen to me here. We're so scared of failing. God, I don't know. What I can't pray for this because what if you don't answer it? I can't pray. What if I pray for them to be healed and they don't get healed? God, what if I pray for my family to be okay? And No. Get confident. Because if it doesn't happen, it's not your fault. It's God's responsible for the results anyway. So you're not a failure. God just said, wait a little bit longer. There's no reason to be afraid if you have Jesus Christ living inside of your heart. Because I'm going to tell you this, it can look like you fail, but it's just a delayed victory on your part. Look, it's time we raise up and know exactly who Jesus is in our life to get bold in these things. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, give it to me up here right now. Get bold up in here right now. Get that done. There we go. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you victory. I love what the ESV says. It says he leads us into triumph. He leads you into triumph. Look, if you're following God, then he'll never lead you to fail. He gives you victory all day, every day. All right? Thank you, Hannah. See, spiritual offense has to be victorious. There's another verse out here. I want to read to you. Give me Colossians 2:13. It says here. Colossians 2:13. Bible says, "Us being dead in our trespasses, and the uncircumcision of your flesh." All that means is it means you're not living according to your flesh. It means you're living according to the Spirit. He's made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. That means no shame. wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which means now you measure up. God made you acceptable, which is contrary to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Look, look, look. He says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This is what this is talking about. There's a picture. There's words being used here. And these words, this picture is the picture of what would happen after a Roman battle. And the Romans, you know what I'm saying, if you guys been through history and stuff, you know what's up with the Romans. They're crazy people. Crazy. And they would walk into a country and just take it. They just decimate it. They had their ways. I mean, if you saw Gladiator, you know, them fools, they don't play games, okay? And they would walk in and they would do these things. And whenever they would take over a place, a city, a country, a land, they would take the commanding officer or they would take the king of the nation and they would bring them back to Rome. They wouldn't kill him. They'd bring him back to Rome. And they would have this huge parade of all their military forces. And in the center of that parade would be that officer, would be that king. And he'd be bound up in chains or he'd be bound up in ropes. And they'd take him to the front, to the middle of the city. And then they would put him up high so everybody could see him at the parade, at the celebration. And they would begin to strip him. And they begin to rip off any medals or awards. They begin to rip off his armor. They begin to take away his weapons publicly in front of everybody. And they would humiliate him in front of everybody. And what they would do is they would say, this guy who tried to fight us is weak, he's powerless, he has no defense, and he is no threat to us. This is the strongest man in the entire nation, and he's weak. And then they'd kill him. That's what they're talking about right here. They said, having disarmed principalities, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he took darkness. He took death. He paraded it. He paraded it through all of the spiritual realm. And he said, this is death, and I am stronger than death. This is sin, and I am stronger than sin. Look, look, no, 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 no. You don't understand. You obviously don't understand, because he said, this is depression, and I'm bigger than depression. No, he said, this is pornography. I'm bigger than pornography. He said this. No, he said, this is failure. This is suicide. This is drug addiction. Look, he said, this is self-hate. He said, this is eating disorders. This is any excuse and fear you have, and I am bigger than it. I'm excited. He disarmed it and said, though it may be powerful, I am more powerful. And he said, you, me, us, if you believe in Jesus, you don't operate under his rule anymore, underneath my rule. You've changed nationalities, right? Look, if you're an American, you pay American taxes, right? Listen to American laws, you follow a speed limit, hopefully, you know. I mean, that's what you do. You behave and you act like an American. But if one day you were to become Canadian, for whatever reason, I don't know. God bless Canada. But you wouldn't pay taxes to Washington, D.C. You would change nationalities. You wouldn't have to listen to American laws, in a sense, especially if you were an ambassador, because you've left America and you've become Canadian for whatever reason. And that's what Jesus is saying right here. That's what God's telling us right here. He says, look, you used to be a part of darkness, but you're not native to darkness anymore. You've become a son or a daughter of God. So you don't have to pay taxes to Satan anymore. You don't got to live according to his rules or law anymore. You can live according to what I say. And if he talks to you, he knocks on your door, he asks you for anything, all you got to do is show him your card and say, look, I don't belong to you no more, because my king is more powerful than you. That's what it is. So whenever those old ways creep in, you have to be confidently victorious. Say, no, no, look, look, I don't hate myself like that anymore. I don't gossip like that anymore. Look, 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 I'm confident. I'm not afraid anymore, because I'm confidently victorious that my God can meet all my needs according to his riches. My Bible says I am more than the conqueror. I'm not a loser anymore. Jesus is greater than you. So So you got to find somebody else to bug. That's what a spiritual offense looks like. Somebody who is not running from the enemy, but running to him, screaming bloody murder like you don't even know what's going on. You're victorious, confident about it. And this is what I love right here. Spiritual offense, spiritual warfare is taking ground. It's advancing. I love what Jesus said in a prayer we've all heard. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You guys know that? He said, your kingdom come. Because your kingdom is advancing. Your kingdom's not over there. It's coming towards me. And since I'm a part of it, I'm pushing it further on. See, that's the way somebody would wage war, is you would take ground. You would advance your land. That's what you do. That's how you win, is you advance the land. So this is what it means. Is wherever God's glory isn't, if you're doing spiritual warfare, that means you take it where it isn't. Think of the most ungodly place you can. Third period, right? And God's glory is obviously not there. But you have God's glory inside of you, so you take it there. And all of a sudden, that period has been claimed for Jesus Christ. As long as you're bringing God's glory with you to lunch, to football practice, look to volleyball practice, look to softball practice, look to your cheer drills, whether it's study hall or the library or whether it's your house. If you're the only one who's a Christian in your household, then you need to take that land for Jesus. And wherever you bring God's glory is where you're advancing the kingdom of God. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, a city on a hill can't be hidden. Its light just shines. You're the city on the hill. So wherever you go, you need to shine God's goodness. So that means when you're doing two-a-days or when you're doing your burpees, that means that instead of talking back and talking trash, it means that you're making God be known. It means if people know you're a Christian, that means you're living like it. And see, when you do that, that's spiritual warfare. It's not just praying for hours in a day. It means that when you go to Stater Brothers with your mom and you see somebody who's depressed and down, you encourage them, and you've just brought God's glory to aisle three. And they don't need a cleanup because you're cleaning it up. You know what I'm saying? Look, if somebody's getting bullied at school, you bring the glory of God. You shut that down. You encourage somebody. You bring God's glory to wherever you are. Look, you find darkness and you shine a light. You look for it. You look for it. You say, God, where? God, I dare you, show me someplace that's dark because I'm about to light this up. And you'll be surprised the places God takes you. You'll be surprised the people you notice now. See, that's spiritual warfare. Is you go where God's glory wasn't before. You're that city on a hill. You let your light shine. And I think the greatest thing any of us can do to wage war on hell is to bring people to God's kingdom. Look, in any warfare, the idea is to reduce the number of them and increase the number of me, right? That's what war is. It's shooting, it's killing, it's ugly. Well, look, obviously, we're not to shoot. We're not out here to shoot, kill. We're not out here to beat people up, right, if they're another religion. That's horrible. That's not how we do this. It's spiritual. So what does that mean? It means that you're bringing people to Jesus. You're grasping people out of the grip of Satan's hands, and you bring them to the embrace of Jesus Christ. That's spiritual warfare. There's no greater way to bring it to the enemy than to take people from his place to our place. That's the greatest thing you can do to bring victory in your life, is to share the love of God to somebody else. There is no greater spiritual warfare than this church word called evangelism. Than this word called sharing the good news of Jesus. When you tell somebody about Jesus, that's the greatest thing any of us can do in this place, is bringing people into God's kingdom. Look, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, verse a lot of us know. Jeremiah said, God, I tried to keep quiet about you, but I can't. I just can't. I can't shut up. I can't stay silent. I can't. It hurts. It burns inside of me. I have to say something. He said, I will not make mention, nor will I speak any more in his name. But his word was like in my heart, a fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, in us, there needs to be such a burning desire to share Jesus that we can't not. We can't help but do it. See, how many of us care where our friends spend eternity? It needs to be something that keeps us up at night, that bothers us. If we have friends and maybe they don't know Jesus. See, we've been sold this lie that, well, what I believe is what I believe and what they believe is what they believe. And you know, if they believe, then that's good. I'm not here to bug them. And that's the worst mindset any of us can have. Not out to prove people wrong, not out to make people feel bad, but to let people live in less than what God has for them. It's a thing that stops a church. It's a thing that stops the kingdom of God. See, we're so afraid of bothering people with what we believe that we're tricked out of the power that God's given us. Look, here's what I know, is that a private belief is a powerless belief. A private belief is a powerless belief, because if you truly believe something, it'll be a part of everything you are. It'll be a part of everything you do. There's no such thing as a private faith. Because what you really believe is what we talk about. What we really believe and trust in is where we go. It's how we live. It's how we breathe. It's how we eat. It's everything we are. You guys like your haircut, right? You believe it looks good enough to put on top of your head every day. You don't hide underneath the hat. A couple of you guys, but that's all right. You believe it. It's public. This is my private haircut. I don't want anybody to see it. I only want to look at it myself. It's dumb. Pastor Richard, that's dumb. Yeah, I know that's dumb. That's why I said it. Do you really believe Jesus? Do you really believe there is a heaven? And do you really believe there is a hell? Because if you really believe there is a heaven, and if you really believe there is a hell, the worst, most insulting thing you can do to the friends around you is to not tell them about it. I got to show this one of these days. I remember seeing a video about a man who's an atheist. And he said, most Christians are selfish. And he didn't say Christians are selfish because of the way they act. He said, you know, Christians are selfish. He said, because if they really believe hell is what hell really is, they don't, you know, they're not telling anybody not to go there. They're letting people go to hell every day because they're quiet about it. This is an atheist said that. He said, I don't respect a Christian that doesn't tell me about that. He said, I'll respect a Christian that tells me about Jesus Christ because he at least loves me enough. He believes what he says enough that he doesn't want me to go there. If we really believe that there's an eternity out there, if we really believe that Jesus died on a cross, then what are we doing wasting his blood by keeping it to ourselves? You see, that's the thing. Satan has lied to us so well that we're supposed to be nice and polite and quiet Christians in a church, folding our hands, singing a song, not doing anything. As long as Jesus, you're going to be so proud that I was polite today. I didn't bug anybody. Jesus, you'd be so polite. I didn't talk back to my mom today. Maybe you need to start talking back to people. I'm telling you, I'm not saying we need to be rude and start getting up on top of your class, of your teacher's desk and say, y'all going to hell. I'm not necessarily saying that, although it has been known to work a time or two. But I'm saying this, is if we really believe what we believe, if we really believe what God says, then that requires us to change the way we act. It requires us to change the way we talk to people. It requires us to change the way we think about ourselves and this world around us. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross for nice manners. Jesus died on the cross for a kingdom. Because I believe, and I think God tells us this, is that the only answer this world really needs is not a better economy. It doesn't matter who gets voted this next year. Because the truth of the matter is, it's going to be the same anyway. All right? You know, what really matters, what's really going to change is not whether or not, you know, the poorest nations in the world get food or not. What really matters is if the ultimate question that is sending people to depression and suicide, the ultimate question that's sending people to prison, the ultimate question that's making people be greedy and selfish and disgusting to towards each other is answered. And that question is only answered by Jesus Christ. And here, Pastor Richard, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about, is if people believed in Jesus, then all these other problems would be solved. Because I wouldn't worry if I had the newest phone. I'd worry whether or not the person next to me who's contemplating suicide knows that God loves him. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter whether I have the nicest, freshest clothes, because what matters is the fact that there's somebody on their side of the world that Jesus loves, and they're starving to death, and I need to do something about it. It wouldn't matter if my family doesn't have enough money to send me to college, because there would be somebody out there who believes enough in me and believes the calling of God, and they would be able to help me and assist me out in these things. You see, I'm telling you, if people, you and I, believe what the Bible says, then every other problem in this world would begin to diminish. You can't just throw money in education. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much at these things. I'm sorry, I guess I came to preach tonight. Pastor Richie get mean too. So, I just am ready to take it. I'm ready to take it. I'm just ready to take it to the enemy. Sick and tired of this. Sick and tired of having a sick and tired life. I want to see change. I'm ready to kick somebody in the face. So let's do it. Not you, not you. Your face is too nice. I don't want to kick you in the face. But I'm ready. I'm ready to take some ground for Jesus. Somebody needs to pray for their school in the morning. Somebody needs to encourage somebody. Somebody needs to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Somebody needs to tell them that life's worth living. And I think that's what spiritual warfare looks like. So if you guys have anything from God, let's give them praise.